and I installed it on the murder weapon. So this is so senseless and so tragic when we know it is so easy to prevent.
Judge Juan Merchan in New York is pushing back the sentencing hearing in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. That's now set to happen after the November election. Meanwhile, former Vice President Dick Cheney endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris. This is ABC News. Residents of Lake Charles, Louisiana, hit hard by back-to-back Category 4 hurricanes in 2020, are now being told to vacate the FEMA trailers that they've been living in and return to their homes, even if those homes are still considered uninhabitable. Tara Hillman tells us she's been told insurance companies need to take it from here.
I'm trying to get my basic needs met. I barely have running water. I have no hot water. I live in a FEMA trailer. This is not my choice. You know, it's been 4 years.
Severe rain is currently drenching Louisiana, and some of that wet weather is now headed to the northeast. ABC meteorologist Cecily Tynan.
That heavy rain spreads north into the Carolinas. At the same time, there's a cold front sweeping to the east, so that means showers tomorrow from Philadelphia, New York to Boston. And there's low pressure that's going to be spinning offshore. That creates high surf and rip currents from Delaware north through Maine.
This as record heat continues to beat down on the western part of the country. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ARP Wisconsin details the estimated savings.
Medicare drug plan enrollees nationwide who reach the new out-of-pocket cap will see an added savings of roughly $1,500 or 56%. In 2025.
At the state level, the analysis predicts these savings will benefit nearly 50,000 Wisconsinites next year. Other IRA provisions have already kicked in, including a $35 cap on monthly insulin costs for Medicare recipients. Bowen says the pending out-of-pocket changes mean older people dealing with health issues such as diabetes will get much-needed relief when refilling their prescriptions. Collectively, he says these moves should get to the core of the cost issue consumer advocates have been talking about for years.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials to sometimes cover the cost.
Last month, the Biden administration unveiled price reduction agreements for the first group of Medicare-covered drugs included in negotiations with manufacturers. The lower cost of those drugs takes effect in 2026. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cool tonight, lows down to the low 40s. A beautiful weekend is ahead with sunshine. Highs in the mid-60s Saturday and mid-70s Sunday. Highs climb through the 80s next week. Dry weather ahead with more sunshine. It's 46 right now.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinere returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinere on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am sitting in for Jane Matinere, who is on vacation, but will be returning on Monday, and we're very excited to see her. I've got Sweet Cal B on the boards right here. I also have in studio, not on the live stream, but in studio, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer, right here talking to me. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well, Greg. It's a wonderful Friday. I'm so happy to be here in Waukesha with you in studio to recombobulate.
Because this is our stomping ground, Waukesha. You're from Waukesha, right?
I'm from Waukesha County. I grew up in Pewaukee.
Okay. Yeah,
but like spent a lot of time in downtown Waukesha. Oh, yeah. In high school.
Oh yeah.
There was a coffee shop I used to go to that had an open mic night on Fridays.
What was it called?
It was called Sprizzo's.
Yes.
My sister's a terrific singer.
Yeah.
And so I would go play some guitar and she would sing at the open mic night. Shout out Sprizzo's.
Sprizzo's used to be a place called Moon Shadows when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I was in a band, and usually the bands playing there were like rock or pop or jazzy. I was in a death metal band, and invited to play the last night that Moon Shadows was a thing. And I remember playing, and people were starting to get a little precocious, and they're starting to tear things off the wall. And I said, hey guys, just be cool, man. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't have to pay for anything. And you just hear from the top of the stairs, the owner go, I don't care. Destroy everything. And it was just piles of furniture everywhere. So yes, Sprizzo/Moonshadows, very, very deep place in my heart here in Waukesha. If you want to get in touch with us, call us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text from that number. You can also leave a comment on the live stream that's available on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. We call it Twitter in this house. At 11:33, I got Todd Michaels, who is a producer extraordinaire at Civic Media, joining me talking about all things that he loves, including ghosts, because he's a firm believer. We got some great comments on the live stream with regard to, hey, what do you get from Culver's? We got PJ gets the chicken sandwich with onion rings, and Alicia Saunders likes to try different things, but when it comes to custard, it's either turtle sundae, cookie dough, M&M concrete mixer, and double M&M concrete mixer. I'm seeing a pattern, Alicia. we got, like, you know, and Todd Michaels will be on the show. I'm with Calvin between tenders and a deluxe crinkle fries and curds.
Double sides.
Wow. I didn't know. What's up, money bags? All right. Thank you very much for letting us know what you order at Culver's, because that is a sacred thing to share with friends. Speaking of sacred thing to share with friends, Dan is sharing wonderful stories with us. Five stories. This is story number three. Dan, what's going on?
Yeah, we're recombobulating on five stories here. So first we talked about Tim Walz's interview on the Chad Holmes show and sharing his Culver's order.
Exactly.
He's said he's a mushroom Swiss guy.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the way he said that too. Yeah. It's just like, not like, oh, I order a mushroom Swiss. I'm a mushroom Swiss guy.
Yeah.
I kind of like the way he put that. And then we talked about the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week about voter ID and the legacy of that law. The third one I wanted to talk about, headline from Urban Milwaukee. Milwaukee wins $25 million grant to rebuild Center Street and add protected bike lanes. This is a grant that is being brought home by Wisconsin's only senator, Tammy Baldwin. the only senator who you ever hear doing things for Wisconsin, at least.
We have a senator and we have a conspiracy theorist.
Yes, that's right. We could get into that too. But let's talk about the Center Street project, because I think this is a pretty big deal for Milwaukee. And, you know, we know that Milwaukee has faced some serious reckless driving concerns.
Yes.
In recent years. And we know Mayor Cavalier Johnson has made that one of his top priorities since he stepped into the job a couple of years ago. But I think this one in particular, you know, we saw this an announcement, kind of similar one earlier this year around 6th Street in Milwaukee.
Yes.
connecting the north and the south side, rebuilding that street as well. But I think this stretch of Center Street that runs east to west, that, you know, if you drive any this part of Milwaukee between Teutonia and Sherman Boulevard, this is a place, a neighborhood that could really use a lot of investments. And some of the really some of the worst intersections you'll ever experience are along this stretch. I think of one, 27th Street, Fond du Lac Avenue, and Center Street, where those three streets come together. There's a library right there. It's a disaster. Like, there was one time where, like, there was a school bus that drove into the library because because of a car accident that was happening there. So this is a terrific investment in neighborhoods that really need it. And we, you know, so often we'll hear about, oh, you know, why aren't you investing in neighborhoods as opposed to downtown? This is one of those things you hear a lot in Milwaukee media. Well, here's an investment, $25 million in the near north side, in neighborhoods that really need it, and in a street that could really benefit from it. You know, I think the protected bike lanes thing, people can mock it as like, oh, who's really biking in the city, blah, 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 whatever.
A lot of people.
A lot of people, for one. But also, you put those protected bike lanes in, that is a safety measure for everyone else on the road.
Yes.
And you can't, you know, if there are, you know, things blocking you from run, you know, driving into the bike lane or whatever, we're seeing some more of these kind of quote-unquote traffic calming measures all over Milwaukee. Not only is this giving people a safer place to bike in the city, it's going to make the rest of the street a whole lot safer too. So I think this is just a really a terrific thing, and kudos to Tammy Baldwin, Gwen Moore, Mayor Cavalier Johnson for making a project like this happen.
And kudos to the city engineering department for coming up for these designs. We actually had someone from that department on the show a few months ago to talk about 6th Street specifically and those traffic calming measures that were happening, because at first you look at them and they look very weird because you're like, because, and I did this. The first time I drove after it was done, I drove into the bike lane thinking that was the turn lane. And they were like, nope, it's one lane now. It's going to slow you down. It's going to make you drive more attentively, and it's going to make things better. And you know, when you invest that kind of money in neighborhoods, then you bring people to invest their money into the neighborhoods and protecting people, protecting drivers, walkers, and bikers. And it will inspire more people to bike too. I always hate that retort of like, well, who's even doing this? More people than you know, and they're not discounted because you don't do this thing. And biking is important, and you want to make it a bike-friendly city. So this is fantastic news.
It really is. And, it, you know, kind of the bookends of where this project will be. Sherman Boulevard is also a place that is being, you know, kind of reimagined by the cities through other things. So this will connect to Sherman Boulevard. You know, Center Street goes past two large Milwaukee public high schools, Washington and North Division, goes past the, as I mentioned before, in that terrible intersection by Fond du Lac and 27th Street, the Milwaukee Public Library, Center Street Library is there. So these are places that you want people to be able to walk and bike to schools and libraries. Like it's a simple thing to say that you should be able to get to school safely. You should be able to get, be able to walk to a library. You should be able to take your bike somewhere in the city. And I really do think this is genuinely a terrific project. And one that is really going to benefit the city in a lot of ways.
That intersection you're talking about, I think the one on Fond du Lac, where it's like there are 8 ways to drive legally and just a dozen ways to just go the wrong way down a street, where it's just so many points. Those are just awful. I don't like them in any city at all. I don't understand why they're designed that way, but hopefully this will work and do something for the neighborhood and protect people. What a novel idea. Thank you, Tammy Baldwin. Thank you, Gwen Moore. Thank you, Cavalier Johnson.
Yeah, we had our other senator on Conservative Talk Radio this week talking about how the Great Depression was an inside job, and then we have another senator bringing $25 million back to Milwaukee. I don't know. Maybe there is a difference between the two parties after all, Greg.
I personally feel like Ron Johnson, like when he first got in office, he was just a business guy who got the job he wanted because he's a rich business guy.
Ran in a favorable election cycle, 2010. A lot of Republicans won that year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he was part of that.
But, man, it's like he's our own little Donald Trump, where you get to watch just the deconstruction of his brain, where it's like he's just surrounding himself around these people. I don't even
know. Is there a conspiracy theory he does not believe in? Like, I've never even heard of it. You know, I'm kind of fascinated by conspiracy theories generally.
Me too.
I had never heard of the Great Depression is an inside job.
I mean, this is right up there with, you know, that gravity isn't a thing, right? I'm like, get away from me. I just want my apple juice. Thank you very much.
He was also talking about wanting this week. He was talking about wanting RFK Jr. as the Health and Human Services Secretary. Just he's so far off the deep end. Our senior senator.
Senior minded. That was story number three. What is story number four you're recombobulating with us today?
Story number four. There were some comments made by the members of the Republican presidential ticket yesterday about child care.
Yes.
Donald Trump rambled incoherently for several minutes, not talking about child care in response to a question on child care. And then J.D. Vance also had an answer. He was doing an interview with Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
And was talking about, you know, talked about a number of things with child care, but also talked about, like, you know, maybe you could have your grandparents watch the child. And it's just like, this is not a serious solution. This is not a serious person. This is not a serious approach to addressing the issue that parents and providers are facing with the rising cost of childcare. It's just like suggesting, haven't people thought of that? Oh, of course, I'll ask my mom to help out. Yeah. It's like, oh, for the first time, I will have somebody, as you know, just suggesting this. But childcare is such a big issue. I've written a lot about it at the Recombobulation Area over the years. You know, and as a parent of young children, it's such a huge part of you know, the challenges that families face in this day and age, especially when more and more families have two working parents.
Yeah.
And you need robust childcare options, and hoping that the child's grandparents or aunt and uncle or whatever it is can help out with childcare. That's not a solution.
No.
That's not a policy. And he talked about a whole bunch of other things too. And it's just like beyond that, but it was just a bunch of, and you hear this a lot from Republicans. We heard it in Wisconsin when this issue came up, and you know, they're talking about like deregulating this and removing barriers and this, and it's just a lot of convoluted ways to talk about how you don't want to fund childcare.
No,
and you don't want to fund anything.
What I loved was Donald Trump's solution was raising tariffs so high that this will be put into the economy to lower the cost of childcare. I don't know what Department of Wharton he went to where this was talked about, but this makes no sense whatsoever. It's absolute, and I just, yeah.
It's a lot of nonsense. A
lot of nonsense. We're gonna keep talking to Dan Shaver from the Recombobulation Area, as well as our Civic Media's political editor. We're gonna talk about the fifth story. I think it has something to do with the jersey you're wearing.
Right.
Don't go
anywhere. Game day, baby.
Game day in Brazil, baby. Don't go anywhere, folks. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So fly like a cheap head.
like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead. Nah, 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 now I'm feeling so fly, like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead. Nah, 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 nah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be returning on Monday. Got Sweet Cal B on the boards playing. What song was that?
That was a remix or a parody of Like a G6, and it's like a, feeling so fly like a cheesehead.
Gotcha.
Okay. The amount of Packers parody songs that are out there, it's just remarkable.
They're not America's team. They are the world's team.
That's right.
It's really what it is. And that voice you were hearing right there is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, here with five stories to recombobulate. Dan, do you want to give a quick rundown of what we've been covering so far since you've been here?
Sure. So we started by talking about the Tim Walz interview that was on the Civic Media Network this morning and with the Chad Holmes show. He shared his Culver's order. So we've been talking a little bit throughout the show, getting a lot of comments about what people want to order from Culver's. Tim Walz, a mushroom Swiss guy. and then we talked about a story in the Journal Sentinel this week on voter ID and the legacy of that and the details of what that has meant for people in an era where Republicans are continuing to advance voter suppression laws. We talked about Tammy Baldwin announcing $25 million for road improvements in the city of Milwaukee. That's going to be a really important investment. And we talked about J.D. Vance and Donald Trump making some incoherent, ill-informed, just completely nonsensical comments on childcare.
You know, I have the clips waiting, like ready to go with Trump and Vance, but they're ridiculous. And I'd rather spend more time talking about our fifth story, which is game day. Are you ready for some football?
It is Packers game day. We are back. We are so back, Greg Bach. We've got Packers Eagles from Brazil. This is going to be quite the thing.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I am not the biggest football fan. But much like I wasn't the biggest basketball fan last year or before last year, being a part of this network, you hear people, we talk about the Bucks, listening to Mike Clemens talk about the Bucks. So I get a general idea. So I'm sure I'll pick up some stuff. But for the life of me, I do not understand why Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I think, you know, the NFL is trying to make it a more global game.
Yeah.
We've obviously seen the NBA have a lot of success with this. We see all the international players, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and so on.
I don't know if you've heard of him, Cal.
Not sure if you've heard of him. But, you know, they do these games in London. Yeah. I think they did some stuff in Mexico City.
Okay.
And now doing something in Brazil. It's just a really interesting, decision. And you know, there's so many weird details that we've been seeing, like there's the issue with not being able to tweet from Brazil right now. Some issues.
Oh, that's right. Because Twitter. I almost said
we're calling it Twitter. I'm still calling it Miller Park and Altera Coffee. And it takes me a while.
It's the first star building. I'm gonna go to the ballpark, the county stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Twitter is banned in Brazil. We had not had a chance to talk about that this week.
Yeah. So that's weird. So we're not going to experience the game the same way. I frankly don't totally understand the details for that. So I don't really want to comment on it too much.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this Packers season. You know, the season ended in such an exciting way last year with, you know, going into Dallas and blowing out the Cowboys and then really having a chance, almost winning against San Francisco. And a lot of people are picking the Packers to really make some noise in the NFC this year. And I think the Eagles is a great, great way to start because they're going to be one of the top teams in the conference too. You know, they are just a couple of years removed from a trip to the Super Bowl. And I think the Eagles are favored in this one, which is interesting because I think a lot of the preseason predictions were saying a little bit down on the Eagles, pretty high on the Packers, especially their offense. Don't really know what's going to happen with their defense yet. They have a new defensive coordinator. That's going to be an interesting thing. You know, it's a great first test of the season against a really good team. And man, I'm excited to watch some Packers football.
I am excited for the excitement. I'm not going to be able to watch the game tonight because I will be working this evening, but I will be checking the score throughout. I love Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah.
Not a huge football fan, I just love his energy, what he's brought to the team. You know, made me a little nervous when they're like, he's the highest paid quarterback in the league. I'm like, oh no, please win all your games or everyone's just going to be mad at you all the time. And that's why I said yesterday, you know, if the Packers do lose tonight, which is a possibility,
yeah,
don't get mad at the staff. Don't get mad at Jordan Love. It's one game out of 17, I think, this season.
Mm-hmm.
Got plenty more chances to make it up and do great job. It's just I don't want to see people like, well, see, this is what the problem is. We gave up too much money.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, you know, the doomsayers will jump in if there is, of course. It's not like people have ever overreacted to a Packer game in Wisconsin before, right?
Jordan Love's an inside job. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna have a good time. I mean, honestly, like I've had more interest in football since Aaron Rodgers left. He just wore me thin.
Last season was my favorite Packer season in a long time.
Yeah.
Because it was just something new, something different. And you know, the first few games there were some rocky moments for Love and for the Packers. You know, especially the defense has had some really rough games at points last year. But the way that the season ended and the way that Jordan Love looked in that final stretch and in that playoff game in Dallas, that was pretty remarkable. And now, you know, just coming into this season with high expectations again, it's just we've got another great quarterback and we've got great expectations. I love the receivers that the Packers have this year. You know, kind of the group of there's no number one receiver, but there's just like everybody else. There's like four other great receivers, two really good young tight ends on the roster. Signed Josh Jacobs away from Oakland or from the Las Vegas Raiders as a running back. So I think that the offense is going to be really high powered, and we're going to really see hopefully something different with the defense, because I think last year the scheme was really not always working, and I hope we see a little bit more of an aggressive style with the new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley and some of the additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball this year. So I'm very excited to watch this team.
Calvin, what about you? What are you thinking tonight? What are you doing? Are you watching the game tonight?
Yeah, I'll watch the game. I think I'm pretty confident the Packers will do well. The Eagles, I don't know. I think they're falling off. I think their time in the sun is over.
Oh,
they still got some good offensive weapons. You know, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. AJ Brown is a terrific wide receiver, but you know, they've missing some pieces on the defense. And one of the previews that I was seeing was saying that they give up a lot in play action, give up a lot of yards in play action. And if the Packers can, you know, with their new running back and Jordan Love did a lot of great work in play action last year, you know, there's going to be opportunities to make some plays on offense. Absolutely.
I'm very excited for the Packer fans because Calvin, I'm going to do something very weird. I'm going to make about the Brewers right now. As a Brewers fan, this is the most excited I've felt about this team in a while. Like, we've done well, we've won the division, but we've always kind of fallen off in that first round. This is a season where I feel like we've got the power and the momentum, and I feel that excitement. So, like, that excitement you're feeling, it's like, yeah, I get it. Because especially last season, the Packers were like, new guy, young coach, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to go anywhere. Let him get a few years, and they dominated through all the critics, and that's how I feel the Brewers have done this year.
Yeah.
They were counted out when Craig Counsell left, and Pat Murphy is on the short list for coach of the year. So
he's got to be at the top of the list right now. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to keeping up on the score this week and tonight at the game. And I hope you have a great time. Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulationary and political editor for Civic Media. Thank you so much for being here for 5 stories to recombobulate.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Love having you here. Coworker. We got Todd Michaels coming up next, talking about ghosts and other fun things. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Mourners held a vigil Friday night in Winder, Georgia, where a gunman killed 4 people at Appalachie High School this week. The suspect, Colt Gray, is now charged with murder, as is his father. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald helped convict the parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly.
All responsible gun owners will tell you that your weapon should be secure. At the end of the closing argument in James Crumbly's trial, I actually installed a cable lock and showed the jury, and it took around 10 seconds, and I installed it on the murder weapon. So this is so senseless and so tragic when we know it is so easy to prevent.
Judge Juan Merchan in New York is pushing back the sentencing hearing in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. That's now set to happen after the November election. Meanwhile, former Vice President Dick Cheney endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cool tonight, lows down to the low 40s. A beautiful weekend is ahead with sunshine. Highs in the mid-60s Saturday and mid-70s Sunday. Highs climb through the 80s next week. Dry weather ahead with more sunshine. Right now it's 45.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. You know what's near and dear to my heart? The lotto. Oh, I love me some scratch-offs. I buy them and put them in everybody's stocking at Christmas. But this is a big one. I also know that buying lotto tickets is mathematically and financially what my grandpa would have called a waste of money. The internet is full of hilarious ways to show how bad our chances of winning are. Like that we are 20,000 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to win the Powerball. So, if your goal is to have more money in the future and you enjoy the occasional scratch-off, recognize that the lotto is a little bit of hope and fun and not much more than that. I spend 10 or 20 bucks on it every year, and I enjoy those moments to the max. When I'm done, I go back to being smart about my money, which I'm here to help you do, too. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation. We'll be returning on Monday. You got me. You got Sweet Cal B on the boards. And right now, we've got our next guest. He is producer, station manager, swell guy, Todd Michaels. Welcome to Matinair on Air, Todd. How are you doing today?
Hey. Thanks for having me on. That song choice was absolutely incredible. I don't know who came up with that, Kelvin, if that was you. I haven't heard that song in a long time. That rocked.
That was all Calvin. Calvin,
nice work.
Calvin is like one of the best. I don't even, unless I need a song to be played as bumper, I'm like, you just do it. I trust you.
I think maybe I need some training or something. Calvin, do you do any classes?
The key is taking our network music library, searching a keyword and picking a song that sounds kind of cool.
And that lesson
so
will cost
caring.
You. It's like a chat room right now. All right. So, Todd, you are the station manager up in WGBW, correct?
GBW and WISS, so Northeast Wisconsin. Yep.
There you go. Folks, Todd is just a phenomenal human being. Here's how phenomenal he is. Currently, he's on vacation. And I asked him to do the show a while ago. And then someone said, I think Todd's on vacation. I'm like, no, I wouldn't. He would have told me. And then I found out you were. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me you were on vacation? You're supposed to be resting.
Because if I have a chance to be on the air with Greg Bach, I'm taking it.
Stop
vacation
it.
Or not.
You are just too muchery. All right. Well, we talked about, like, you know, what do we want to talk about in this last half hour? It's Friday. We're going to have fun. It's light and breezy. And you're like, I love ghosts. So here's the thing is, you love ghosts. Some people love ghosts. Some people love ghost stories. Some people have scary stories. That's not all for you. This is a thing for you, right?
For me, it started off like everybody else. Our ghost reel.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go out and get scared tonight, right? Watch a scary movie, see if there's ghosts around. And now for me, when I do investigate, it's more about telling the story of people and places that have been in the past.
Okay.
And so that's really what it's become for me. So it's kind of been an evolution of, I want to go get scared. I want to see a ghost, to these are people that lived and they should still be remembered.
See, I love that. Okay. I am not a believer. Don't be upset with me.
I have to say this to you, because I've been thinking a lot about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not somebody that wants you to believe.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But with this and with anything else, whether you're talking aliens or you're talking politics, I would rather you had an open mind to hear people's stories and to listen to some of the actual evidence, video and audio, and then say to yourself, if you walk away going, well, you know, there could be something. That's all I want you to do. I want you to have an open mind to it and make your own decision.
Well, and when you frame it in the sense of, I want to do this to remember these individuals and tell their story, that's, for me personally, I believe in that. Regardless of whether you believe in ghosts or not, these individuals should be remembered, especially when you're talking about family, you're talking about friends. Their stories should not be forgotten. And I think that's a very important point, because we live in a very, you know, reality world, scary, make you jump out of your seat world, where it's about, we don't care about their story, especially on these TV shows. It's about, like, oh, did we find them? And they honestly, I don't think on those shows care whether or not you believe, or if they find anything. They just, it's about the dollar, because it's a TV show. They're
sure, to make money. Absolutely.
But that notion of, I want them to be remembered and I want to tell their story, I think that's very poignant to me. And I think that's wonderful. So what is it? How do you tell me about it? What's in your world then of doing what you want to do as far as telling these stories?
Well, I think for me, you know, again, like I said, it started off, the thing that was the catapult for me was the Amityville Horror, when that came out in the late 70s, based on a true story of a haunted house, right? So I was like, well, there's got to be ghosts then. And that, it got me interested. Back in the day, the TV shows like Ghost Hunters and stuff like that came out. And I realized people were actually doing investigating and getting some real, what I thought was real evidence. Mm-hmm. And so that's what got me into it. And I have to tell you, for a very long time, nothing ever transpired in any of my investigations. I'm talking years, like nothing happened.
Okay.
We didn't record any audio. There was no video. There were no personal experiences, but I kept at it. And when I had my first experience, which actually happened in my own home with a friend of mine who was there.
Okay.
That literally, Greg, I'm going to be honest with you, made me tear up in my eyes, because I'd never experienced anything like that before. That's when I said, okay, there might be something. There might be something to this.
And that's the other thing too. I think for me and other people who, you know, would classify themselves as non-believers, is we also come from a very, you know, the ghost is inside the house and it's going to cause damage or harm. And when... I mean, I feel that when it comes to the conversation, like, well, like, I guess for the stories you're telling, like, what is the story? What happened? If you don't mind sharing what happened, were you afraid, or were you like, it seems like you were more taken over by emotion than like, oh my gosh, this is a haunted house. And now I'm
right.
You know, it's Amityville Horror in my home.
So I'd lived in this house for a number of years. Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I'd been doing investigating again. Nothing really experienced. I got a new piece of equipment and I had a friend come over and I said, let's test this thing out. It's something I hadn't used before. I'm not going to get into the whole story because it's so long and drawn out. But we ended up using a piece of equipment called a K2 meter. which measures electromagnetic fields. And there is some belief in the paranormal investigator field that if this thing reacts when there's not electricity around and things of that nature, you may be actually dealing with some sort of energy, whether it's a ghost or a spirit or whatever. And it started working in my house, okay? I was not believing it. Yeah. I was sitting there, well, it's an old house. We've got some stray voltage coming through. It's nothing,
yeah,
right? Because I'm a skeptic as much as I do believe. And so it finally stopped. And the questions, we found out that it was a man, an elderly man. He had lived in the house, blah, 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 through question and answer. And it stopped. So we started having a conversation about something else. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that was nothing. That was nothing. We're making things up. Okay. I lived in a two-story house, wood floors on both stories, a house from 1925 where a guy had his medical practice out of. He was a doctor. And at that moment, somebody or something walked down the hall, the full length of my house upstairs. We heard it and a door closed. And at that point, that's when my eyes teared up a little bit. My jaw dropped open and my friend said, who else is at home today? And I said, nobody, it's just me and you. And that opened up a whole plethora of things that happened in that house from that point forward.
You say you teared up. What was your feeling then at that point? I mean, because it doesn't sound like you were scared, because if you were scared, you'd run. No. Or so that's what I find very interesting as well.
It was the light bulb. It was the first aha. It was the first holy crap. This could be something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure I said some other words, but yeah, it was mind blowing to me. And then, you know, things continued in that house until I moved out. But at that point, then my investigations in other locations and for other people started to actually be fruitful and getting evidence and things of that nature.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking to producer, swell guy, station manager, civic media employee, great human being all around, Todd Michaels, talking about his paranormal investigative world, the world of bringing stories of possibly long forgotten people back to light and telling those stories. After that, it seems like, was it like a floodgate after that then? Like you said you spent many years not getting anything. And was there a point at that where you're like, nah, this is maybe my skeptic brain is right. There is nothing. I'm going to put the equipment away or sell it and just move on to something else. But once you had that first experience in your old house, did it then start to happen more and more? And maybe was that attached to the fact that you were given that sense of belief and you could see it differently now?
Yes. I think the moment I went, okay, there could be something, then I was able to actually allow other energy in, other spirits to come forth. And I truly believe that your intentions going into an investigation, the mm-hmm. people that surround you, all that's very important. If you've got the wrong people with you, if you've got the wrong energy, the negativity and all that kind of stuff will not happen, right? But if you've got the right group of energy, positive, welcoming, all that kind of stuff, I think you can experience some really wild stuff. A couple of places in southern Wisconsin, Riverside Theater. You got to go there and investigate.
In Milwaukee?
Incredible stuff. In Milwaukee. Okay. Incredible stuff. I can tell you some stuff that I'm not allowed to say on air about some of the stuff that went down that night, but we had voices. We had light play. We had something happen very interesting at the end of the night. The Barrymore Theater in Madison, another great location to check out. Grand Opera House in Oshkosh. I mean, that what happened at the Grand Opera House was mind-blowing and life-changing for me.
Yeah.
But I also think, and I will say this, you start off, you know, kids playing in a graveyard going, are there ghosts? Come on out, you know, and talk to us. And then you lose somebody in your life. I lost my mom.
Yeah.
And that changed the way I investigated, because I realized if my mom, for instance, wanted to hang out at my childhood home once in a while and she was haunting somebody or she was there and they noticed, I would want anybody who investigated that property to be respectful and kind because it's my mom.
Yeah, of course.
So that changed the way I investigated. I didn't provoke. I didn't, you know, I wasn't nasty. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. I realized that if these spirits, if these energies were real, that I would want to treat them the way I would treat any other human being who's alive.
Absolutely. And that's the thing for me is like, I was part of a podcast series where I had to watch reality TV show. And I watched one of those shows, like whether it's don't know if it's Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, and they were investigating a crime that took place in a gentleman's club. And it was like some of the most disrespect, because like they're trying to find out what happened to this person. And then they're just doing the most disrespectful things to the venue, as well as this proposed ghost that they're seeing. I'm like, why would I watch this? Why would anyone watch this? This is just schlock. And I feel like it does a great disservice to someone like you, Todd, who goes in it with the purest of intentions, trying to find out more about individuals. And, you know, like you said, like if you met my mom, please be kind, please be respectful.
Absolutely.
And that is not what I saw. I just saw bro dudes just being bro dudes, and really
that would be Ghost Adventures. And I will just say this, I mean, that's TV, right? They've got to get ratings, they got to get people to watch. Not something that I enjoy watching. I was part of a team that did some investigations for Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
it's called Haunted State. You can check it out, and we do locations in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I think we were very respectful. I think we got some great evidence. But again, it's always up to the individual listening and watching those things on whether or not it changed their perspective on life after death.
It's a very interesting talk you're having with me, Todd. I'm okay.
You're bored, aren't you?
No, I'm not bored.
You're dozing off over there.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, is everyone looking at me like this? I just can't take a compliment. I'm trying to tell you that I'm very, very intrigued by this, because like at no point in my life, like whether I believed or I didn't, did I ever think of the goal is to connect, you know, because that's not how it's presented in movies and TV. It's seen as something else. It's seen as hunting, and that's an aggressive term. And instead, right, you are just trying to reach out and find out a story. And I think that's much more of an interesting narrative than what I see in media and their portrayal of ghost hunting, ghost investigation, paranormal investigation. So I'm much more interested in that story.
What would it take for you to actually go, that could be something?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about that. I have another question for you, and then I want to talk about what would it be like to actually go on a ghost, what would you call it? Not a hunt, an investigation?
Investigation, yeah.
Go with you on an investigation. So we're going to keep talking about this with Todd Michaels. He is Civic Media through and through, producer, station manager, swell guy. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I have been your guy sitting in for Jane Matinair for the past 2.5 weeks, and it's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to Jane being back here on Monday. But right now, we have got not only Cal B behind the boards, who I think is a believer. I think he's a deep believer.
I don't know about a deep believer. I haven't done any investigating, but I'm in a similar place to Todd, I'd say.
Okay. And we are talking to Todd Michaels, who is producer, station manager, civic media buddy, and buddy in general. Swell guy. He is here talking to us today about ghost investigation. And we were talking about the fact that from, I think, a lot of people's perspective, we see what the media gives us. I know that sounds like a very weird, we just listen to what the media says about ghosts. But we see it as a, you know, it's reality shows, it's horror movies. It's not about, like, I don't know, like a connection to people from the past. And you asked me, what would it take? Ask that question again. What would it take for me to believe?
For you to not necessarily believe, but for you to say, there might be something here. Not necessarily here as a place, but here in general, like in life. There could be something. Maybe I don't know everything that I should know.
Oh, I mean, I am the first to tell you I don't know many things. I think for me, it would be going out with somebody who has the experience and doing something and seeing it from being shown with someone I trust. So like you, going out in the world saying, all right, we're going to go to this place where I know stuff is going on so I can give you some real good evidence as what I believe is going on or what I see happening, and I can explain it to you. Because one of the questions that people have that gets asked all the time, you know, the notion of, quote unquote, if ghosts are real, why don't we have something like, why isn't it breaking news on CNN? Why isn't it like, oh my gosh, we have evidence at the Riverside Theater today. We saw this thing happening, you know, like, while I think it's a valid question, but it's also, of course, used in a deep cynical way to like kind of slough off what you do, Todd. That's, I think that's a valid question for me personally. But I think if what would get
I
me
think
to-
it's I think Greg, you know, I think that it's similar to politics. Well, yeah. If so-and-so is such a bad person,
yeah,
why don't people, you know, are we talking about it in media? Yeah. Are people listening to it? I mean, we live in a society now where alternative facts are a real thing.
Yeah.
Even though they're not, you know, so the same thing, it doesn't matter. I can bring a ghost to you in a jar, if that were even possible, Greg, and you'd still possibly not believe, right?
Yeah.
We're no longer in a society where seeing, hearing, feeling is believing. Now it's whatever we're told is correct. So I think that's part of it. I think there's a fear because it's something we don't understand.
Yeah.
And after all the years of investigating through the 60s, 70s, and even earlier than that, to today, and all the equipment that we actually have that helps us to investigate, even with all that, and the audio of voices, the video of shadows, like we can't come to you and say, here's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been able to do that.
Yeah.
But I've had enough experiences that made me go, wow, that I have to say that I've been in some haunted places and I've seen and heard things that are not of this world, if you want to say.
And I think that's where I'm going with this, is that if we can make it work, because here's the other thing too, is I'll be totally honest. I'm a scaredy cat. And I think my first notion would be to be scared, because
wear Pampers. I mean, have some diapers on, because you may make a mess in your shorts.
Todd, that's not a problem. They're always on. Point is, is that if you and I were to go out into the world and you took me to a place where, like, I know where there's good energy and I know I can show you what I'm talking about, I trust you enough. I can't say what the outcome will be, but I personally am willing to do that, because for me, I don't want to be, for one thing, I think cynicism is not a attractive trait in a human being. And I think just to say no is, it doesn't help you grow. And even if, for myself, if nothing comes of it, I still did it and I got to hang out with a friend and watch you do something you enjoy. And what I get out of it is, you know, I can't guarantee what I get out of it, but it will definitely be a positive experience, unless I forget to wear my Pampers.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody's cleaning up after you. I'm just going to tell you that. Man. That doesn't happen during an investigation.
Not a first timer. Calvin, what's up?
Well, I have a super nerdy question.
Oh, boy.
For Todd. So I'm a little more plugged into the UAP side of things than the ghost side of things.
Okay, what does that mean?
Okay, it's the new trendy way to say UFO.
Guys. Oh, gotcha. Okay, all right.
Yeah, they had to change it because us old guys, you know, we get used to something and now there's something new we have to learn.
Okay, tamp it down, Grandpa.
So I... So in that sphere, there's people who believe that there's crossover interaction between the spirit world and what people are experiencing as UFOs. Have you ever experienced anything that would suggest that to you?
I have not personally experienced that, but I've seen evidence that would make me think that. I mean, there's talk that things like Sasquatch and UFOs and paranormal ghost energies are all intertwined, that they're able to slip through some kind of veil and disappear and not be around. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that kind of can link together. If I were just a true paranormal investigator, I'd say, oh, I don't believe that. I'm dealing with people who have passed away. But I truly believe they're, you know, again, I have to be open-minded to all this stuff. I've not had a UFO or UAP or whatever you called it. I've never had an experience in that realm. But for me to sit here and say there aren't any would be ridiculous, considering I believe that there could be a ghost right over here next to me. There could be an energy hanging out.
Well, I feel like this has a conversation for, we have to keep this conversation going another time. We're going to have to do more about this follow-up because I would totally hang out with you, Todd, and do this. And Todd, I want to thank you for being on the show and having this great conversation with me. I want to thank Dan Schaefer. I want to honestly thank everybody, especially Jane Mantenere, who trusted me to do this show in her stead for the past 2.5 weeks. Everyone here at Civic Media for trusting me as well. I've had a blast. Calvin, thank you so much for all the help. Could not have done this without you. Really appreciate everything you put into this show, my friend.
It's been a blast, Greg.
Excellent. Like we said before, Jane's on vacation right now, but she'll be back on Monday. It's going to be a great time having her back in the big chair. We got lots more to talk about. 60 days until the election. And for right now, we're going to bid ourselves adieu. But before we do that, to tell you, please download that Civic Media app. Listen to shows anywhere around the state, anywhere in the country. Take it to space. I don't care. Text and call through that app. But also, we got news coming up after the show, followed by the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2. For that, I wish you a good weekend. A great weekend. Thank you for reaching out to us. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. More reaction to the arrest of the father of the alleged Georgia school shooter. Colin Gray allegedly gave Colt Gray, his son, the weapon used in that shooting. ABC News spoke to Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald, who helped convict the parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly.
Just so senseless when it's just so easy to secure your firearm.
That father is charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. NASA has executed the successful landing of the Boeing Starliner capsule.
Touchdown.
Starliner is back on Earth.
The spacecraft was plagued with thruster issues and returned to Earth from the International Space Station without a crew. Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, the two astronauts set to come home on the Starliner, are now set to return in February. And former Vice President Dick Cheney now says he'll vote for Kamala Harris. This is it. The IRS says increased funding has allowed it to force wealthy tax dodgers to pay their fair share. ABC's Dave Packer reports.
The IRS says it's collected $1.3 billion from high-wealth tax dodgers since last fall and is crediting spending that ramped up collection enforcement through President Biden's signature Inflation Reduction Act. Visiting an IRS campus in Austin,